Open your Bibles back to Numbers chapter 13. Actually, we'll start Numbers chapter 14 in just a moment. Numbers chapter 14. Such a blessing to be here. I was away last weekend. Teresa and I were gone. I was down in Brandon, Florida for a meeting. We were gone. The meeting started from Wednesday and lasted through last Sunday, so it's good to be back with you. I always miss you, miss seeing your bright and shining faces. There was a restoration during the meeting. We praise God for that, but it's always good to be back here and to just sing with you and worship with you and be strengthened by you as a people. So good to hear about Lucas and Emily Byers placing membership last week, and Randy Sr. and Sister Libby Case. It's wonderful to hear about Damien being baptized. Maybe I need to be away more often. Sounds like a lot of things happen while I'm away, but I'm glad that I'm back. I'm glad to see all of you. How different are you? How different do you want to be? The fact of the matter is, we don't want to be terribly different, do we? There's a great deal of comfort in fitting in and being like most other people. Even people who say they want to be different oftentimes don't really want to be different. When I was in college, I took a lot of art classes. My last art class of the day was right before I had to go to work, and I had to work at a store where I had to dress up. So most of the time when I went to the art classes, I was dressed up. And most of the artists around me were not dressed up. And so one day we were working on a project, and this one girl goes, she said, "Mark," and this is in front of the whole class, she said, "Mark, you're a really nice guy, but you know what your problem is?" I thought, this is going to be rich. "What is my problem?" She goes, "You're too much of a conformist." And I looked around the room. I said, "Raise your hand if you have a hole in your pants somewhere." Because all artists do. All artists have clothing. At some point, they've got a hole in their pants. Everyone put their head down and kept working on their project at that point. You know, everybody likes to fit in somewhere. So radio there's a commercial on the radio right now for a jewelry store here in town, and they say, you don't want to get her a cookie cutter ring. You want to get her a name brand like everybody else has. Okay. Think about that for a moment. Okay, so I don't want to get her a cookie cutter ring that looks like everyone else's, but I want to buy her a ring that's just like everybody else's. We find comfort in being like others, don't we? The idea of being different is hard for us. And yet that's what we're called to be as Christians. We are called in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, to be different. There are a lot of wonderful statements made about followers of God. Abraham was a friend of God. David, a man after God's own heart. But the statement we're going to read in just a moment, I would submit, is probably as great of a statement and a compliment to a follower as anyone could ever have. And if our life could be viewed as such, we would be living a good life. In Numbers chapter 14, keeping in mind what Ryan read just a moment ago, we find in verse 1, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.' And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the children of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who cried out, who spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.' And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel." Jump now to verse 19. In those verses, God said he was going to punish the Israelites because they did not trust in him. Moses interceded. Verse 19, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Notice verse 24. And the great statement that is made about Caleb. Caleb had a different spirit. Our theme this year is the theme of excellence. We've talked about striving for excellence. We've talked about the fact that you and I can, by the power of God, be excellent. We may not all reach the same level, but we can all take the talents that God has given us and strive to use those talents in a way where we are using them in an excellent way. But none of this means anything if we don't have an excellent character. Because it is through our character that all our actions come. If we are to truly excel this year and strive to be more than we are, it must be more than simply actions. It must come from who we are. We must strive to have excellence in our character. And I want us this morning to look at Caleb. Because really, when it says he had a different spirit, it is really saying he had an excellent spirit. The spirit of the people was the spirit of mediocrity. They were just sort of coasting along. They weren't interested in excelling. And that's the mindset of so many people today. The Israelites came into the land of Canaan. These 10 spies, they saw the land of Canaan. They saw how beautiful and how wonderful it was. But all they could think about is how they could not attain it. All they could think about is how it was not meant for them to have. It was wonderful. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. The fruit of the land was incredible. But there were giants there. And the people were strong, and the cities were strong, and there was just no reason in the world that they could actually attain it. And as they looked at the land, they had no trust in God. They had no faith that God would deliver them. They had no devotion to God, and they only had doubt. That's the mindset of the world. And as they looked at all this, they began to even say it'd be better to go back to the land of Egypt. Now think about that for a moment. What were they in the land of Egypt? They were slaves. It was so bad for them at one point in Exodus chapter 5, after Moses first went to Pharaoh, they were told that they had to make their own bricks with their own straw that they cut. And they had to make sure that as they went out to get their straw and make their bricks, they could not fall down in their quota at all. Their life became arduous and hard. They were beaten. They had taskmasters over them. And they were saying it would be better for us to go back there. The past was better. And not only did they know that they were weak in the eyes of the people of Canaan, in chapter 13 we're told they were weak in their own eyes. Not only did they know that Canaanites didn't think they could excel, but they couldn't excel. What you see, just a group of people who had no confidence in God. And they weren't pushing themselves to excel in any way. This really is the spirit of the world. Sadly enough, it's the spirit of a lot of Christians too. A lot of Christians who like the idea that God wants to save them, and they like the idea of heaven, and they like the idea of being a Christian, but they just don't think they can ever do it. They don't think they can ever really be devoted enough to be faithful and true, and as a result, they lose sight, maybe some of you, of the wonderful promises of God. They lose sight of the promise of peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. They lose sight of the promise of contentment, of being satisfied with what God has given them. And they lose sight of the promise of forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes first from God. And the peace that comes from that and the contentment. But not just the peace that comes from God, it is the peace that we have when we have forgiven other people. There are some Christians that are just bound by anger and bitterness, and they hold on to this anger and bitterness toward other people, and they never find this peace, they never find this contentment, they never submit themselves to God's will. And they never find, as Brother Boyd said a moment ago, the joy that comes from serving the Lord. Because they're just sort of in it to be mediocre. They don't have very much in it. Is that your spirit this morning? You don't have to answer me, by the way, but you're there with God. In contrast to that, we have the spirit of excellence, which is the spirit of Caleb. It is a spirit that is personified first and foremost by an incredible trust in the Lord. Caleb, as he went to the land of Canaan, he saw everything his other Israelites saw. He didn't relish in his own accomplishments. He didn't say, look, I can do this. But rather, he said in chapter 13, verse 8, that if the Lord wills, he placed his full confidence in what God would do for them and not what he would do. And he also, in chapter 14, verse 9, equated a lack of striving for excellence with rebellion. But verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, or fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. This was not simply a matter of being indifferent. Failing to strive for excellence is an action of rebellion that you and I need to think about. Caleb understood that he needed to turn and put his full trust in the Lord, his full faith in the Lord. And when he did that, Caleb accomplished incredible things in God's kingdom. Only because he had a spirit of excellence within him. And what was the result of the spirit of excellence? Three things stand out. First of all, he was preserved. If you look in chapter 14, really beginning in verse 26, those who rebelled, those who refused to go into the land, they were punished by God. And everyone who followed them was punished by God. They were punished because they would not enter the land. Only two people at that time, over 20, were allowed. Caleb and Joshua. Because they had excellent spirits. Because they excelled in their faith. Because they trusted in God and they sought to be used by God. He was preserved. But second of all, we see as we look in Joshua chapter 14, he was blessed by God. When they come into the land of Canaan, some 45 years later, Caleb's a lot older. But this is what he says in verse 10 through verse 15. And now behold, this is what he said to Joshua and the people. The Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. Listen, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day when Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. It's an 85-year-old man, but he says, I'm ready to go. Why? He had an excellent spirit. Excellent. Why was he bringing this up? I think the implication is most 85-year-olds at this time would not have said it. Most people 85 years old say, let the younger guys go. Caleb said, no, I'm going. God has preserved me. God has blessed me. He was strong. He was vigorous. And I think so much of older Christians and the faith that they show even in their old age, that desire to keep doing something to be used by the kingdom of God, and God blessed him. We see also that his enemies fell before him. In chapter 15 of the book of Joshua, verses 13 through 14, now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Amon, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now, the children of Anak were giants. Joshua and Caleb drove them out. Caleb took his land at 85 years old, and God blessed him, and his enemies fell before him only because he had a different spirit in him. Only because he strove for excellence. What about us? What do we need to take from this? What constitutes a different spirit? What are the things that you and I need to incorporate in our lives looking at someone like Caleb so that we can be different? So that the rest of this year, as we talk about excellent actions, we can do things that will not stop at the end of the year, but they'll be a part of who we are because they're a part of our character. Four things I want you to think about. First of all, people with excellent spirits have different perspectives. What do you see right now? Half full or half empty? It'd be great to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to do that. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us look at the same thing sometimes and we see different things based upon our perspective. And so Caleb and Joshua went into the same land as all the other Israelites, but they saw every reason why they could not take it. Caleb and Joshua saw every reason why they could. We have the same problem as the Israelites sometimes. We start looking around our life and what do we see? We start seeing all the problems, don't we? We start seeing all the reasons why we can't excel. All the reasons why we're held back, held down, our mortgages, our health, our jobs. We start looking at financial issues. I mean, they happen to all of us, just like the Israelites. Caleb, when he looked at this situation, however, saw God everywhere. That is the great distinction between the two. They saw the same thing. Their perspectives were completely different. Our lives are just like, again, the Israelites. We see all the negatives. And sometimes we don't see God. Just to be honest. Sometimes as Christians, we act just like the world. We worry about all the things the world worries about, don't we? It's like God's not even there for us. And if He is there, He's real small, okay? We acknowledge that He's there. Oh yes, I believe in God, but we do not believe that He has the power to accomplish anything. Someone says, well, that's not me. I believe that God has the power to accomplish a lot of things. He just can't accomplish everything. So we have a little larger God, but He's not the God of Caleb. You want to be different? You want to lead an excellent life? Look at Caleb and take on his perspective. And start seeing God everywhere, at all times, surrounding us, engulfing us, aware of us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is not a Pollyanna concept that we stick our head in the sand and act like there are no problems in life. There are problems in life. There are a lot of problems in life. There are problems that will knock you down to the ground in a heartbeat. There are problems that will hold you down. You and I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But when we have the perspective that our God is with us, it changes everything, right? So why don't we live like that? Why is it that as Christians, we complain about all the same things everyone else complains about? Don't we need to change something? Don't we need to change our perspective and get our mind out of this world and start thinking, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, about things that are eternal, things that are unseen, and trusting in that instead of all the stuff we can see? Yes, Wyatt pointed out in his prayer, I mean, there's so much to be frustrated with now. So many things to be depressed about. I mean, politics, who has a clue what's going on there right now? And that affects our country, and we begin to think what's going to happen in the next 20 years, what's going to happen in the next 50 years. I don't know what's going to happen. What I know is that my God is the King of the universe, and that will never change. There will never be an election for Him because He is a sovereign God and He will always do what is right. And when I have that perspective, will that not change the way I look at politics? I know in the moment we're going to get frustrated, but don't we need to step back and change our perspective? Don't we need to sing the children's song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do"?
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His. The valleys are His. The stars are His handiwork too. Ooh. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you and for me. See, that was where Caleb was coming from. That's where we have to come from, beloved. We have to come from the standpoint where every day we put the t-shirt on that says, God is King and He is my King, and we act like that. I know it's hard to think that way. The world doesn't. We don't want to be different, but we've got to strive to look to God and say, God is in control. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. God is a God who is there, and He brings His power and might to those who are His. We need to rejoice in that, beloved. We need to face every problem that we deal with in life with a different perspective that says, my God is in control. The psalmist in Psalm 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation. That is Yahweh of the Bible. That is Jehovah of the Bible. He is a God who is with His people. Psalm 91 verse 2, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. The world will say, why are you doing that? You're wasting your time. Our perspective is different. And because our perspective is different, our goals will be different. You know what the goal of the Israelites was? The goal of the Israelites was to get the land of Canaan. And they gained the land of Canaan by serving God. You know what the goal of Caleb was? To serve God. And in so doing, gained the land of Canaan. You see the difference there? You see the difference there? The Israelites focused on what they got out of the situation. As you look at the life of Caleb, because he fully obeyed, he was someone who focused on God first and foremost. Let me ask you, what are your goals in life? Is your goal in life to have a good life and a happy life? Is your goal in life to have a good job, make a lot of money? To have a good marriage, surely there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me providing for my family, nothing wrong with me having a good, happy marriage. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But those aren't really the goals that you and I need to be striving for. You say, oh, well, I got it. My goal is to go to heaven. Okay, that's what you're looking for. Well, that's a nice goal too. But if that's your only goal, it's the same goal as the Israelites. Beloved, let me say in no uncertain terms that there is one goal each and every one of us has to have within our life if we're to make it. And that is the goal of having a relationship with God. Letting that be the thing that drives me and you more than anything else. Paul put it like this in Philippians chapter 3 verses 8 through 11. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Listen to this. That I may know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The thing that drove the Apostle Paul was knowing Christ. Knowing God. Is that what drives you? Is that what you want more than anything else? I understand that such a goal comes with maturity. But would you like for that to be your goal? Are your goals all these other things and you want to fit God in somewhere? That will never work. You will never be different. You will never find peace. You will never find contentment. Until you start saying, I'm going to focus first and foremost on God. That is the plight of the Lord's church right now, beloved. We are so focused on, we got to make sure that we attend so many services, and we got to make sure we do these things and sing these songs, and all of those things are secondary to the first most important thing, and that is loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Those things fall into place, but they're not the goal. I'm afraid on the judgment day, there are going to be a lot of Christians who came to most of the services and dropped a check in the collection plate and outwardly did all the things that looked right. But God was never their goal. You young people, pay attention to this, because you need to figure out early in life where you need to be devoting your energy so that you don't catch up later on in the game when you start figuring this out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Listen, the kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. It is where God reigns supreme and sovereign. And what He is saying here, you've got to make sure you seek God's sovereignty. You seek His face. You seek His righteousness within your life. You do those things and everything else can be taken care of. Make sure you have different goals. Number one goal, to serve the Lord with all your heart. And when you do that, there are going to be different actions. You're going to act differently. The actions of the children of Israel was rebellion. The action of Caleb, obedience. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 12, Peter said, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what that's saying? That the people of the world ought to see that we are different by our actions. They can't see your heart. They cannot see your character. But they can see your actions and my actions. And they're watching you. Make no mistake about that. They are watching you. If they know that you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, they will watch you and they will nail you to the wall in a heartbeat. If they find out that you're living contrary to that, make sure your conduct is honorable. Abstain from fleshly lust, as Peter put it in chapter 4, beginning of verse 3. We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Why? When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Christian, is your dress any different from the world? I'm not talking about going around in a black suit all the time. I'm talking about the issue of modesty. Do you respect the body that God has given you? Are you seeking to protect it and protect other people, men and women, by the way? Is the way that you dress any different? Are the places that you go, are they any different than everyone else? Isn't that supposed to be part of who we are? It's the language that you use on a daily basis. Is it seasoned with salt? Is it graceful language? Do you make sure that you treat other people graciously and kindly? Do you make sure that you show love toward other people rather than hatred, which is so prevalent today? You and I need to make sure that as we go through this process of having a different perspective, and we make sure that we have different goals, that we have different actions as well, and what that leads to is a different destiny. What is the destiny of those who are just like everyone else? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us it is the wrath of God. But will you finally open your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1. What is the destiny of those who strive to be excellent, who strive to live as Caleb lived with a different spirit? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness, the difference, the excellence of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Where does it lead you, this difference that you take on within your life, to a very different destiny than everyone else? So what will you do? What will you and I do with our lives? Let us adopt the spirit of Caleb. Let us resolve to be different. Different in our perspective, our goals, our actions, and our destiny. Ralph Waldo Emerson is noted as having said this, although others said something similar. Sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an act, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. Let us resolve, by God's grace, to be different in every way, and to reap the salvation that comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We come before you seeing that too often we have the spirit of the Israelites. We are not striving for more. We are very content, and may we be stirred up from a study of your word this morning to recognize that our families deserve more. As men who are married, our wives and our children deserve more. They need leaders who are excellent. As ladies who are married, that our husbands and children need wives and mothers who are excellent. As those who are not married, who are just part of the congregation here, all of us, that we deserve to bring the very best to what we can in our service to you. That you deserve that. But dear Father, we need to give that to one another. Please, dear Father, forgive us for those times where we just coast. And may we be stirred up inside of who we are in our character this morning to be more, to follow the wonderful example of Caleb and strive to be different. Dear Father, it comes from you. May we seek your face. Dear Father, please bless us as we serve you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as we are about to just conclude this time with one another, we want to make sure that if there's anyone here who's ready to just take on an excellent life, you know that the opportunity is now. We're about to sing a song in just a moment. It is a song of encouragement, and if you recognize that you need to make changes in your character so that you may be different and you may be excellent, if you need to obey God to become His child, the water is ready. And based upon your confession of faith and your desire to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, then you can come this morning. And if it's a child of God, you reflect upon what we've talked about and you see there needs to be some changes in your life. You need to be more like Caleb. While we're singing, go to God in prayer. And if you want to come to your brothers and sisters, I will tell you, you're among friends. You're among people who love you, want the very best for you. And if you want our prayers as well, we would love to do anything we can to help you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come now while we stand and while we sing for your encouragement.